Well, we're going to spend a little time in the Word, which is a wonderful thing to do. And we're going to start in Psalm 1, first Psalm of the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Last week I made an announcement that I'd like to start, hi Max and Mary, I'm just going to do a short series on the subject of lessons in living. Lessons in living. We all want to have a life that's wonderful, that's full, that's long, enjoyable. I don't know anybody in here that really just wants to have the worst life possible. There is. We have to have a talk. But we want to enjoy life. And the thing is, none of us were born knowing it all. Even Jesus Christ, when he was being a little, when he was a little baby, he didn't say, "Hey, Mom, look, you know, if you just adjust this a little differently, we'll both be fine." You know, he didn't contribute information to Mary and to Joseph as to how to live life, how to take care of him. He was the Son of God, but he didn't contribute. He had to learn, just like we all have to learn, by absorbing information from all different sources, perhaps, but and putting things together and sorting things out. And he was presented with the Word of God by his mother and his father and other believers, I'm sure. And he, heard it, believed it, and started applying it. But he too had to learn. So it's lessons in living, and what it is to is to go to God's Word and see how that can be applied in a day-to-day fashion in our lives so that we benefit from it. Now, as we know, there are lots of sources for information, and there are a lot of classes, a lot of books, a lot of magazines. They all tell you something that you should do. You know, you can get a little pamphlet on 101 uses for white vinegar. Could be very helpful. You know, that's not what this is. We're just going to go to the Word of God and see what it says and what we can do to apply that Word in all different realms of living life. And the biggest thing is what source are we going to go after? Like, if you want really good, solid news of what's going on in the day, your best choice probably would not be the National Enquirer. You know, that thing that you see in the grocery store. They always get the weirdest stories and pictures. And I always wonder, who buys these things and reads them and believes them? But the fact that they've been around since I was a kid and they're still around tells me somebody is buying them. They're still in print. But is it a reliable source of news of people's lives and actions in our country and around the world? I don't think so, but somebody's buying that stuff. But the source of what we listen to is very important. And I'd just like to go to some scriptures here that show the source of what we would be interested in is the Word of God. And the Word of God, there's no better source, because God's the one that invented life. If he invented life, made life, surely he would know a little bit about life, right? Kind of makes sense. So, Psalm 1, verse 1, one of my favorite psalms in the whole Bible. It says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Walks not is carrying out your life, so to speak, in the counsel or the information given by the ungodly. So it says, this guy is a blessed man, a happy man. The word blessed here means happy. Is if he doesn't go by the counsel of the world, of the ungodly. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Now, the way of isn't mean somebody's coming this way and you're going to get in their way. Like maybe with football, you want to get in the way of the guy with the ball. It's in the way, it's in the road, in the path, in the direction of sinners. He doesn't stand, he's not planted in that direction of sinners. And the last one is, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." He's not established in the ways of the world, basically. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He meditates. Right. So what a contrast. He's a happy guy if he doesn't go the way of the world as far as information and as far as actions. And that guy's life, or that person's life, is that what really delights him is the law of the Lord. And in that law, he doth meditate day and night. And here's a result of that action. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So there's a stark contrast between the person who's blessed and who's prospering. Their heart, their thinking is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. And those who are scorched are those who have rejected or don't want anything to do with the Word of the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs. We could spend 10 years in Proverbs on this subject, but we're not going to do that. So, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs gives a lot of information concerning the stark contrast between the things of God and the things contrary to God in His Word. Very clearly written. A lot of lessons could be learned, lessons in living could be learned just reading the book of Proverbs. But chapter 1, verse 29, again looking at the Word of God being a great source for living life. Verse 29, it's referring to people who have scoffed at the wisdom of God. It says, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." The fear here is not a fear that scaring, you know, you're scared in your boots type of fear. It's a love or an awe or a respect of the Lord. It's not a scaredy cat. No pun intended for cat here. We do have a cat here. Anyway, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, referring to wisdom's counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It's a stark difference between going the ways of the world as far as a source of information for life and living, and God and His Word and the things that come from God. Here referring to the wisdom that comes from God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. These are very familiar scriptures to us, but we just keep going over this and going over this because somewhere along the line it sinks in finally, or it slipped out of our brain and it's good to put it back in there. You know, either way, it's very helpful. Chapter 3, verse 15. No, I'm in the wrong spot. Chapter 3 is good. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but, here's the contrast, let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Any of those things sound good? Long life, peace. Sounds good to me. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now, when you think about this one, mercy is something that comes from God. Truth is something that comes from God. And they don't forsake people. Mm. It's a figure of speech. If truth has forsaken you, that means you've left truth. Truth doesn't forsake anybody. Like, God doesn't forsake people. But if people leave God or leave walking with Him, that's not a good thing. But He's not the one that initiates that. Truth doesn't forsake people. It's a great way of putting it. Let not mercy, that means, you know, let not mercy and truth forsake you. That means stay in the Word. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That's the result, doing verses 2 and 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear or respect or love or have an awe for the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel. So your belly button's going to be doing really well. And you're going to have good strong bones. It is referring to your whole body and life. You know, it's going to positively affect you. It's going to positively affect me when I choose the word, as opposed to standing in the way of sinners or standing applying the counsel of the ungodly. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So our source for what we want to learn about living life, the best source available is God, and the way we find out what that is go to his word. It will display, it will show, it will teach what how to live life to its fullest. Chapter 3 and in verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child, this is referring to Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, or unto wholeness, through believing which is in Christ Jesus. Most scripture.
No.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that's part of the purpose of the Word of God. And that's the function of the Word of God. It's good for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And it has a good outcome. The man of God isn't going to be all beat up and lying in the street half dead all the time. Going to have a wonderful life. A wonderful life. So, it's a great thing. We're going to go to James. We're in the neighborhood. James chapter 1, Hebrews, James. The more we understand of God and his word, the more awe that we start to have of him. I remember when I first was learning about the Bible, I enjoyed it, I loved it, I thought it was terrific, but the longer I stayed in it, the more in awe I became of how big God is, how great God is, how loving. And still today, it continues to be a growing thing. Just stand it all, what happened. Incredible it is. just the fact that he hasn't banged us all up over the pulpit for the stupid things we do at times. You know, that's pretty good understanding that you realize, okay, he still loves me. He still is going to be with me. That's a wonderful thing. So, very familiar verse of scripture here, chapter 1, verse 21. Says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, it's a mouthful, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save or make whole your souls. Look at what it can do to the soul of an individual. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Any of us have that problem where we go in the mirror, we look at ourselves, maybe like, I don't do this too often to check my hair, but once in a while I will. And then forget exactly what you look like, and then have to go back to the mirror and say, what the hell was that again? I mean, it's a simple process, but God's using this analogy to say, hey, if you heard God's word, and then as soon as you heard it, you don't think about it, you're like a guy who just looked in the mirror and forgot what he looked like. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So if we act on what the truth of God's word is, it's a blessing to us. If we don't, if we just hear it and say, "Yeah, that sounds great, I like that," but then never apply it, it's as dumb as looking in the mirror and forgetting what you used to look like 2 seconds ago. So, funny. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. So the more we learn about God's word, the greater we see the great integrity that it has and the great reliability. The word of God is very, 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 very reliable. So anything that we apply from God's word to a part of our life, we can have absolute assurance that it's going to work. Absolute assurance. So, you know, some things are maybe bigger than others. Like maybe deciding what you want for dinner is not a big deal. It's important. I just say yes. I'll have any of it. But it's important, but it's not going to make or break your life. But what about who you're going to marry or what you're going to do with your life or where you're going to live? There are some other areas of our life that, yeah, big decision. You make the wrong one, you may have some bad consequences for a while. But if we rely on the truth of God's word for all of our living, then it's a great thing. And we can rely on it. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told by King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, "I made this big golden image and you got to bow down to it." And they said, "You know, that's not scriptural. That's not what the law says. God doesn't want me to bow down to that. He wants me to bow down to him." And they refused to do it. And the king got so angry at him, he said, "Well, I'm going to burn you to death." And they said, "Okay, you know, can we negotiate this?" They knew that God would protect them because they were doing what God's word said. Safety was a promise from God. And they stuck their life, they staked their lives on that. I mean, their whole life, right there. And saw the fire. So felt the heat, I'm sure. I mean, it was a big fire. It was so big that it burned the guys that tried to put them in the fire. But what about when we decide to get married to somebody? We're going to stake our lives on what the word says concerning marriage. It's a pretty big deal. And what if it's wrong? Well, these guys staked their life on the truth of God's word, and they didn't get burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Well, we do that in a lot of areas, maybe may not even realize it, but have any of us ever been on an airplane? Anytime Susan and I get on an airplane, we always pray that God would show us, if not, you know, the thing's going to crash, let us know before we get on. So we always pray, and I've never, ever got revelation, "Don't get on." Usually it's quiet. I mean, it doesn't say anything. So I figure, all right, I got my ears open. If he's not saying anything, I'm walking around and I even let him know. I say, "Look, I'm going to get on the plane." You know, I'm talking to him. And so far, we've never crashed. But once you get on that plane, the only thing that you can do to help get that thing to where it's supposed to go is just praying to God and believing in the promise of safety. God says he'll take care of you. But now you're staking your life on the fact that the pilot's doing his job, the mechanics are doing their job, and all the things that are supposed to go right, go right. You just stuck your whole life right on that long thing, and out you go. I remember one time we were on a plane, and it was we were the first row after the expensive seats, first class. And the curtain was open. And there was a boxer apparently on the plane, a popular boxer, and the pilot got word of it, and the pilot comes out to shake hands and talk to him, and they're only like 5 feet away from me, and he's talking, and then all of a sudden he's still there, the co-pilot comes out. And I'm thinking, who the hell is playing? But they had computers. The computer was doing it. But I was like, wait a minute. They just switched spots. He's not that important. So it was quite funny. But we do. We stake our lives on that. How much more can we stake our lives on this? Far better. So anyway, Matthew chapter 22. I thought the first thing we could look at as far as a lesson in living, that's probably the greatest thing that we can actually do to really live life fully, is to love God. Love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And it's actually a commandment, chapter 22, we're familiar with. Because loving God will carry us through a lot of things. It's a great way to live, to live life loving Him. Chapter 22, verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment? This is a guy coming up to Jesus Christ and asking this. In the law, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we apply this in our day-to-day living of loving God, it will have an effect on the things that we do. Like how do you apply the word of God to be a good student? Like Noah's in college now. And Hannah and Elizabeth are in school. How do they apply the Word of God to make them a good student? There are things that we can do. What's righteousness got to do with being a good student? There are things about being righteous and knowing you're righteous that will make you a better student. Or what do we apply in God's Word to make a marriage great? What does knowing the mystery have any effect on a marriage? You know? So here, Jesus Christ said, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When you boil down all the laws in the Old Testament and all that the prophets spoke, and you boil it down to an essence, that's what he's saying. On these two laws, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole word right there. Boom. And it's got to have an effect on us if we apply that, for sure. A positive. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And of course, Matthew 6:33, it says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Doesn't say second. Doesn't say third. Doesn't say fourth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just going to read this. It deals with loving God. But what a way to live life. And we all know people that don't love God. It's no fun being around. I mean, we got to be around certain people because of work or other things. But it can really just be wearing when you're around somebody that has no regard for God in any way. It's difficult. It wears you out. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear or love or respect the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be, or that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. That's what his concern is, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, everything that you possibly have in you. It's a commandment. It's not just a good suggestion. Not just a good thing to do. It's an actual commandment. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear or love or respect or have an awe for the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against you and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Not that it's just, it's a result of a person's unbelief. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God, Lord your God, as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. Again, there's the interest. He wants it to be well with thee. And that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware to thy fathers. It's just wonderful stuff. But he wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And lastly, we're going to back to Psalm 1. Well, it won't be lastly. We've got one more. But Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 again. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The word meditate there isn't the word meditate where perhaps in our culture we think that somebody is going to sit on the floor, cross their legs, go like this, and maybe just stay there thinking on a subject or something, or meditating. It's the word for mutter, to speak to yourself, to speak out loud. Hmm. And basically what it's saying is, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just speaks the word to himself. We do that. Does anybody speak out? Well, I'm not going to raise my hand. Does anybody speak out loud to themselves? You know, like, yeah, I do. It's pretty popular. Pretty common.
Susan, usually it's negative.
But we speak to ourselves concerning a lot of different things. But here it's saying that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he speaks that word to himself. And that's what we do. We're to place the word in our thinking, speak it to ourselves. You know, we do this often. We think we're in a circumstance, and we think, well, what does God's word say about this? God's word says, you know, we have a conversation with ourselves. You know. So, but when we have a love for God, this is not hard to want to do. Where we go to God's word and think about it, speak it to ourselves. It's never a chore to love God or to spend time in his word. I'm sure us married people, before we got married, we may have been dating our spouse for a little bit of time, I don't know, at least 5 days, and had, you know, what the world would say, you fell in love with that person. And I remember dating Susan, and I was always thinking about her. I just always, she was always on my mind. I didn't wake up and, you know, in the morning and say, well, I'm going to spend 15 minutes thinking about Susan, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get ready for work. And then I wouldn't think about her until the next day for that 15 minutes again, you know? And then I'm done thinking about her for the day, and then I move on. You know, but sometimes we might do that with God and His Word. You know, well, He's legislated to that early morning time, and then, you know, we got other things to do. You know, I got a life to live. But, you know, it's a heart relationship. It's just, it oozes out of our thinking. And, you know, we just have a love for God. And if a love for a woman or a love for a man can be bigger than our love for relationship with God Almighty, we just haven't got there yet. God's certainly better than our spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, I would say, right? When you agree that. But, you know, we just can't relegate. Put. God in a box like that, you know, He's like, okay, He's good for this time period. Just doesn't work that way. It's just a love for God, and that's what God wants. I'm sure the Sarnak kids here are more of a blessing when they love their parents all day long than when they say, Mom, you know, I'm going to give you my 15 minutes this morning, and that's it. I got school to go to. You know what I mean? I'm done. It's funny. It's really funny. Okay, so lastly, this is really the last one. Ecclesiastes, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. So you got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes was written by revelation by Solomon, King Solomon, David's son. And he was an extremely wise person. He gained a lot of wisdom by God. God gave him a lot of wisdom. Incredibly wise person. And Ecclesiastes shows a lot of him going through life and, you know, trying this, trying that, you know, figuring out a lot of things. And at the end of the book, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Referring to all that he just covered and life's living and what way to really live life and how you can really have the best life there is. Here's the conclusion. Fear God, which is, again, that have a love for or respect for or an awe for God. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What a simple way of doing it. To love God and to do His Word. And if you really want to live life, you really want a lesson, if I want a lesson in living life, I think this is the top one. Downhill from this point forward. No. Can there be a better way of, you know, if you were to teach a person one thing about how to live life to its fullest, I think this has to be it. Love God, do His Word. It will cover everything else. You know, and it'll be enjoyable. So we want to continue to develop our love for God and just enjoy that love that we have for God. And we know He loves us, that's for sure. We just want to build that love. And love is really a great thing to have. Great to be loved by God, and He likes having us love Him. It's nice having grandkids, but they are funny. I remember a couple weeks ago, I hadn't seen Hunter in a few days, and he was coming. I had come to the door at their house, and he's coming towards me, and I'm thinking he's going to get my arms. He walked right by. Didn't even say hi. He just walked right by. I was like, okay. Something else was in his thinking at the moment. More alluring, I guess. But you know, it didn't bother me. I just thought it was kind of funny. But, you know, God wants our love. It's really nice. So, anyway, we're going to cover a number of different subjects. It's not going to be a very long series, so we'll cover a number of them each time. But just life's practicals, things from God's Word that we can apply that will benefit us.